from KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. You can call us at 800-933-5372. You can email us your questions and answers. Of course, the email address, anything@kera.org. And that's where we got some of these to start us off. Stuart wants to know what is going on the roads around Plano. He says, for a couple of years now, crews have been making their way around Plano, closing one lane at a time and digging large, maybe 15 by 15 foot square holes about 50 feet apart. He says, I've never seen them lay cable or pipe. They just seem to dig a hole, then fill it in. What are they doing? Roy in Fort Worth says, we've all heard of unleavened bread that is made without yeast. Did Leavenworth, Kansas get its name from worthy of rising or worthy of growing? He says, if you follow the Latin roots of the words, perhaps, where did Leavenworth get its name? And also, Roy says, does anyone out there know anything about New Harmony, Indiana? He says, my maternal grandmother's maiden name was Harmon, and I heard once that this was a sort of special experimental socialist commune project in the 19th century. New Harmony, Indiana. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything@kera.org. Let's see. John in Dallas says, I've worked as a contractor for over a year at a company, and I'm wondering how much the contracting company is charging my actual employer. He says, essentially, I want to know what the typical markup is for hiring someone contract. He says, if I get paid $20 an hour, I wonder how much they're charging the company I'm actually working for. 800-933-5372. Sergio in Fort Worth asks at anything@kera.org. Why do football players wear black paint under their eyes when playing? He says, is there a functional reason? I think it's to cut down on the glare is what I've always heard. But how does it work? 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's talk to Robin in North Texas. Hello, Robin.
Hello. I have a question about sales tax. Should sales tax be charged for mowing my lawn? For instance, like I got a new guy.
Right.
He said it was going to be $35 to mow my lawn, so I gave him $35, and he says, oh, no, there's tax. So it's really $38 and some odd cents.
Right.
What I suspect is that he's just pocketing that money and keep, you know, charging me more. Is there any way to verify that he is, in fact, paying sales tax on mowing my grass? I mean, my barber doesn't charge me to cut my hair.
Right.
So why is this guy charging me to cut my grass?
Your barber probably just, you know, sort of reverse calculates the tax out, you know, when like in a service thing like that. Because I think there is tax, I think, but
well,
I'm not sure.
If in fact he is pocketing the money, is that a big deal? Is that like, you know, spitting on the sidewalk, or is that like tax evasion?
Right. Well, let's ask and see if we get an answer for you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. And let's see. We have a question from Glenn in Dallas. And I think we covered this either last week or the week before. Glenn wants to know, why do birds congregate at certain intersections in the morning and evening and not at others? For example, Mockingbird and Skillman, Buckner and Garland Road, Gus Thomason Road in Ferguson. He says it looks like a scene out of Alfred Hitchcock's film The Birds. He says, I'm sure there are others. However, in each of these cases, you can go a block or two away and not even see a single bird. He says, just very curious. Well, last week, I think it was last week, we had the answer that these birds congregate in areas where they are can be relatively safe from predators. This is after the mating season when they all want to be together for safety. So a parking lot is a good place because they can see any approaching predators like, I guess, cats or anything. And a place where there's lots of roosting potential. And I guess some of these intersections have lots of live oak trees, which have lots of little branches. And that's what we were told last week. 800-933-5372. Up next is Sue in Springtown. Hello, Sue.
Hello. Last week there was a question as to what makes a belly button, a ninny, or an outie.
Yeah.
And there's only one way to cut it, so that wouldn't be it. But the innies are the normal ones. Outies are small hernias.
Oh.
So.
Okay. Well, you mean there's only one way to cut the umbilical cord.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we had a couple of email answers. I'm going to actually pop you on hold here,
okay,
so you can listen to these because we're getting some sort of weird interference. But we had a couple of email answers. One from Stuart, who says, "When my daughter was born, I asked that question: what makes it an innie or an outie?" And he said, "I was told it has nothing to do with how the cord is cut or anything. It just depends on how that person heals. There is nothing the medical staff can do to make it one or the other." And let's see, Terry in Plano says, the innie versus outie belly button question piqued my curiosity. And Terry, by the way, is listening out loud at work. So I did a quick web search and found only one detailed answer at ask.yahoo.com. The article says that only about 10% of the population have outies, but finds no definitive cause for one or the other. So the short answer, according to Terry here, is that it's simply luck of the draw. So thanks to Terry and Stuart, and thanks to you, Sue, as well. 800-933-5372. Up next is Betsy in Grapevine. Hello, Betsy.
Hi. I was wondering if someone could, or maybe you would know, a resource to find out early voting results. Local, national.
Right.
Let's
ask and see, because I know that I don't think you find out that information, and I could be wrong here, and we'll be happy to stand corrected, until the polls close on Tuesday.
Can I ask you, though, a question? I know I've watched CNN, and they talk about results for, they've got results, reporters get to them, because I know that they've reported on who's ahead, who's behind in early voting.
Right. You mean now, like even this week?
Right now, yeah.
Hmm. I haven't heard any reports saying what any totals are in early voting. I've only heard reports and read reports in voter turnout for early voting.
Maybe they're exit polls. I don't know.
I would guess they're probably exit polls, and I don't think that you get early voting returns until the polls close in that county. And you can get that information in Dallas County at Dalco Elections website, and then probably also there's a site just like that for every county around. And you might look at, as we get a little closer to Tuesday, on KERA.org, there's a voter's voice page, and I'm sure they're going to have links to all of those election return sites.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks a lot. Of course, if I'm incorrect about that and you can find that info, give us a call, 800-933-5372. I'm sure you'll send us an email to anything@KERA.org. Let's talk next to Nicole in Dallas. Hello, Nicole.
Hi there. I called with a question, but first I'll help you out with an answer.
An
election clerk.
Very good.
And the early voting results, you're correct, are not released until the polls are closed on election night. And they are released fairly quickly after 7 o'clock on that DalcoElections.org.
Yeah, because they've got them counted and ready to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And as far as any results, being put out, it's probably based on turnout at key precincts as opposed to actual results, because that's, obviously actual results are not released until after the polls have closed on election day.
Very good.
My question is, I noticed recently when I was driving down Lovers near Inwood that this really cool shop called Benno's Buttons was empty and for lease. And there's not another shop like that anywhere around here. The only other good button shops I know are in Chicago and New York. And I was wondering if Benno's had closed or if it relocated, and if it has closed, if anybody knows what happened to their inventory.
Very good. We'll ask, Nicole.
Thanks.
Thank you. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything@kera.org. And the greatness of Eric Bright has answered a question, folks. And he says, Leavenworth was named after the founder, Colonel Henry Leavenworth, founded 1854. Sean in the Dallas area says, athletes wear black paint underneath their eyes to reduce the glare of light off their cheekbones into the eyes. Says this used to be done with a black makeup type substance. Now, most athletes use a new product that's like a sticker that adheres to the skin like a Band-Aid. And sometimes I've noticed it even has the team logo on it, which is interesting. Bill says, regarding the question on how much the contracting company is being paid for the employee, it's usually somewhere between 1.8 and 2 times that employee's hourly wage. Last week, I think we read an email on this, but I want to make sure because we got a lot of response. We had a question as to whether you could sell stocks for a loss at the end of the year, write it off your taxes, and then rebuy them. And everyone that's written in about this says, be sure and tell your listeners that stocks sold for a loss cannot legally be repurchased within 30 days. And that was from Mike. And Anthony writes, if loss from stock sales in 08 exceeds the deduction limit, it can be carried over to 09 and later. And if you sell and buy substantially the same stock within 30 days, it's considered a wash, and you can't deduct the loss. So you got to wait 30 days to buy it back. In regards to keeping the squirrels out of your car engine compartment, we had a question from a gentleman who squirrels had eaten all the wiring inside and around his engine. Victor and also Gary, Gary's writing from Dallas, suggests using fox urine. Gary says you can get it at Home Depot or large nurseries, spray a bit of it in the wheel wells and under the chassis, and that will do the trick. And Victor says use fox urine under your hood or on other areas of your vehicle to keep out squirrels, field rats, etc. They have it at sporting goods stores like Bass Pro Shops. He says we've used it for years, and it works well to repel these pests anywhere outside or around your vehicle. Because of its pungent odor, however, he says you will not want to use it in your house. 800-933-5372, I would imagine. Let's talk next to Ray in Dallas. Hello, Ray.
Jeff, health to anybody who knows what's going on LBJ Freeway, east and west at the Galleria. It's stopped, and we're enjoying listening to the show, but
Have
no idea why the freeway is stopped.
How long have you been sitting there?
20 minutes.
Really? We are checking right now on
okay,
the
send up the faithful KERA helicopter and tell us what's
right,
going on.
Right. Okay. We'll do our best, Ray. We'll get an answer for you.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Up next is Stephen in Arlington. Hello, Stephen.
Hi. I was wondering yesterday as I was driving down Spur 408 right next to the fault line, which incidentally had an issue last night.
Yep.
If that fault line has a name.
I don't know. I remember in geology classes that I took for fun at the great University of North Texas back in the early 90s that, you know, there are faults everywhere, and there are a lot in this area, but I don't know if it's named. And you're referring, of course, to the earthquakes that we experienced in Grand Prairie and Irving last night.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, if anybody felt one of those earthquakes, call us, 800-933-5372. I would like to know what it felt like. But, Stephen, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Cool, thanks.
All right, 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Ron in Dallas. Hello, Ron.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, I wanted to know why Dallas, Texas, and surrounding areas have such huge variances in gasoline prices. Other cities, when we travel, are pretty consistent. They're pretty close no matter where you are. And we did a very extensive driving trip this year, and the prices from one city to another were consistent. And the whole way, my wife and I are going, why do they swing so much in Dallas?
Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thanks, Ron. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Jeannie, did you find out what's going on LBJ?
I did. He's going to be there a while. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay. 635 LBJ Hillcrest, both sides. On the westbound side, you have one lane open. The eastbound side, only the shoulder's getting by, and they've ordered 7 wreckers.
Wow, so it's a big accident.
Yeah, so take Forest Lane,
okay,
if at all possible.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to, Matthew. Matthew, are you on LBJ?
Yes, Jeff, I'm on LBJ.
Okay.
They've got the signs up along the side of the road that indicate basically what Jeannie was saying.
Okay.
An eastbound lane, just before Inwood Road, all 4 left lanes are closed and only getting around on the shoulder. And then in the westbound lanes, just past Midway, there's an accident there as well that's got the 2 right lanes blocked. So nice day to be a parking lot on 635.
All right. Well, thanks, Matthew. Hang in there.
Keep a good show for us.
All right. We'll do. We'll do our very best. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open. Anything at KERA.org. Let's see. C wants to know, where can you take horseback riding lessons in the Grand Prairie area? And what does it cost? Does anybody know? And Susan in Dallas wants to know about disposing of unused prescription medication. We might just have an in-house answer for you on that after the break. From KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth, it's anything you ever wanted to know. I'm Jeff Whittington. The phone number is 800-933-5372. The email address is anything@kera.org. And if you're on 635, as we've learned during the show, there is a major multi-vehicle accident involving 8 cars and 1 tractor trailer approaching Hillcrest. This is on the eastbound side. Only the shoulders getting by. Wrecked cars apparently scattered across all lanes. Also, the on-ramp from Hillcrest is blocked. They've ordered 7 wreckers. So take an alternate route if you can. Avoid getting on 635. Jeannie Mascoro suggests Forest Lane. So I think I would follow that advice. We have a question here from David in Plano. Hopefully we can answer. I'm joined by our assistant producer, Brandilyn Barnett. Hello, Brandilyn.
Hi, Jeff.
And David asks, what is the job of the producer and assistant producer and producers on your and other radio shows? Also, he asks, what does a director do on a live program? He says, I know that a film director directs the action of the actors, but what does he or she do on a live program? He can't obviously direct the action live. What is his or her purpose? Well, I can start with the director question, because what the director does is basically calls the shots. If you're watching a football game or a sporting event or a TV news show or even a show that's taped live, it's shot and made live to tape, like we do with the Think television program. The director is essentially calling all the shots, telling all of the camera operators what to do, who's going to be on next, what shot to take, whether you zoom in, pan right, pan left, et cetera, tighten up or more headroom, you name it. They're directing the actual recording or all the shots that are happening. In the case of a sporting event, they're telling which camera to get the best shot.
And there's
from
a set language that they have available to them too. Quiet in the studio, camera one ready, camera two, go to camera two, go to camera one. That's what the director's doing during the production.
And essentially, I guess the film director just does that, you know, weeks or months later with all the film. But as far as the producer and assistant producer on our show or shows, on this show, Brandilyn is in the control room and you're sort of, you're producing in there.
Yeah.
What are you doing in there, Brandilyn?
It's a lot of logistics, really. Just making sure that, you know, we have the right names for you to pronounce with pronouncers so that you don't say someone's name incorrectly and then they get on air and they correct you. And it just, that's time wasted that could have been spent on the topic. So really the job of a producer, I think it depends on the field, radio, television. But I think it all boils down to logistics. Sorry, I'm a little sick. But it all boils down to making sure we have the right phone numbers for guests. We have a backup phone number, that all that information is available in the control room so that if there's some kind of, especially if during Think, if we're calling a guest or if we're waiting for a guest, that we have all the information there at our fingertips so that we can quickly find out where they are, what's going on, why they're late, you know, where they're going to be. It's logistical work.
And on this show, we get dozens, on the Anything show that we're doing right now, we get dozens and dozens of calls. We get tons and tons of email. And sometimes, of course, it's inevitable that many of you will have the same answer. So we try to make it as efficient and get to as many questions and answers as we possibly can. And the production staff on this show, and today we have, obviously, and we'll mention her again at the end of the show, but Martha Bean is our Anything You Ever Wanted to Know producer for the day. She was the lucky winner during the last membership campaign, but she's actually in there editing emails right now. I'm seeing her doing it. So we're, we make sure that we try to give you the best show we possibly can. And in the case of Think, Brandilyn and I work to make sure that the calls, the emails, the callers are prepared, the guest is prepared, and the host is prepared prior to the show so that we can give you the best show possible. Thanks, Brandilyn.
Yeah, my pleasure.
800-933-5372. Let's talk to a very patient Stephen in Dallas. Hello, Stephen.
Yes, hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm a small business owner here in Dallas, and I was calling in to answer the question a gentleman had about sales tax on his lawn mowing service.
Mm-hmm.
Before we began business, we contacted the state controller's office, and they advised us on service there is no sales tax.
On service there is not?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's see. We got an email from Jamie who says, I'm a CPA, but I don't practice tax in tax. But yes, they are supposed to collect sales tax, I guess on goods maybe. I questioned my lawn guy too. He emailed me the information from a state website, but don't have it with me right now. Jamie says, I'm sure you can Google it, but it was very specific that lawn service is sales taxable. Normally services are not, only goods, but this is apparently an exception. Jamie says, if the company is legit, they are registered with the Secretary of State, and his lawn care provider has to file a sales tax return each month. And he should remit payment with that return. If he doesn't report his income, then yes, in theory, he could just be pocketing the money. 800-933-5372. Up next is Jill in Van Alstine. Hello, Jill.
Hi. I know you had an answer regarding the early voting results already.
Yeah.
But the caller also said she was hearing certain results on CNN. And I think what she was hearing is they're reporting in some states by political party. So how many Democrats have voted versus how many Republicans.
Okay.
And so that may be what she's hearing, that in certain states there's a lot more, say, Democrats that have voted. So they're estimating results based on that.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Up next is Jubal in Grapevine. Hello, Jubal.
Hello. I did have one comment about the lawn service taxes, which was
you
just
to
call the state controller's office.
State controller's office. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. And other than that, I wouldn't know. But my question was, what happens if you just decide not to pay your credit cards? I mean, if you're capable of paying them, you know, you have the income and all that, you're not, and then you just don't ever contact them, answer the phone, you know, whatever. I mean, I assume maybe eventually you'd end up with a summons at your door, but I don't know if there's, like, you know, procedure for that, for people that are just not going to pay even though they have the money.
I have not. I won't even try. I won't even try that one.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't either, but I was curious about that because I had a friend of mine, you know, had gotten into that situation that just kind of disappeared off the face of the earth.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't try it, and I wouldn't even try to answer it. We'll see if we can get an answer for you.
All right,
thanks a lot. 800-933-5372. Up next is John in Dallas. Hello, John.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Benno's Buttons is still in business. They have moved to Inwood Road, west of Stemmons, just before Inwood crosses the Hampton Road Bridge.
And we got an email also from Kelly in Dallas. Hello, Kelly, who said it's 1334 Inwood Road, just south of I-35.
That's it, yeah.
Great. Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
800-933-5372 is the telephone number. Email address, anything at KERA.org. Chris wants to know, what happens to unspent campaign money that candidates raise during a political campaign season? I think they can use it for a subsequent campaign, or I'm sure there are rules, but I think they can do that, or they can maybe give it to the party. But let's ask. Call us, 800-933-5372. Always smarter to ask. Let's see. Ola says asks, where can I get raw peanuts in the DFW area? Dale in Dallas says, in the past, if you were carrying a ladder or a rolled-up carpet or something long that hung out of your pickup bed, you were required by law to attach a red flag to it to warn other motorists of the danger. He asks, is that law still in place and just ignored, or does it no longer apply? Bruce wants to know, where can one find training in negotiation? He says, I don't mean a one-day course or a community college course, but real training. Are there diplomatic agencies that offer negotiation training, or do they send all their folks to the same few places? If so, what and where are those places? And Brad is curious about something he's been seeing at home construction sites, and it seems to be mainly in the Highland Park area, although I occasionally see it elsewhere. In the front yards of the home construction site, usually right near the street, the crew erects a structure. It's about the size of a large door, and it often has a small window in it. On this wooden structure, I often see what appear to be paint or brick or stone samples. Is this some sort of design tool, or does it serve some other purpose? You're exactly right. What it is, Brad, and we've answered on this very show, is it's a mock-up of what a certain kind of window installation or piece of trim or maybe stonework or sometimes two or three different treatments around a window will look like. And, you know, the homeowner or maybe the contractor or whoever's making the decision can come and look at it and say, yeah, do that one. So call us if you have another answer or a question, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Neela in Colleyville. Hello, Neela.
Hello. My question is regarding the road I live off, which is named John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know if it was named after actually the the presidential candidate or some other John McCain.
And where is it?
Colleyville, Texas.
It's in Colleyville. It's called John McCain Road.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll ask and see.
Thanks.
All right. 800-933-5372. Up next is Patrick in Cleburne. Hello, Patrick.
Hi. How are you?
Doing fine.
I'm an attorney, and I also do bankruptcy. Somebody called and asked what happens if you don't pay your credit card.
Yeah.
Eventually, they'll file a lawsuit against you. All of the credit card companies have law firms on retainer, and that's all they do is sue people who don't pay their credit cards. Most of the time, they get a judgment against you for the debt plus interest plus attorney fees, But in Texas, anyway, it's hard for them to collect that debt because we have such a strong homestead law. You know, in Texas, they can't take your house, and they can't take your car, and they can't take the tools of your trade. And also, because this is Texas, our homestead law also protects your guns. They can't seize your guns to pay off debt.
Very good. It is Texas, after all.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks very much.
You bet.
800-933-5372. Up next is Fred in Dallas. Hello, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Now, I had a call about someone wanting to find out where they could take horseback riding lessons in Grand Prairie.
Yes.
I know there's a group of women called Baker Style Riding in Dallas that, you know, that my kids have taken lessons from. And I've sat there and listened to them refer people out to someplace south of Fort Worth. There's a big riding lesson place over there, mm-hmm. and they know places in Dallas because I hear them, because they don't teach Western, only English. And they were constantly telling people where to go, and so I looked up the email address I still had, which was just bakerstyleriding@aol.com. I'm sure they could probably call them and get some sort of reference to somebody.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, of course, anything@kera.org. A little business left over from last week and I think the week before here. Don in Garland is answering the question about Texas basements and tornadoes, why we don't have more basements since we live in essentially Tornado Alley. And Don says, basements in Texas for use as a tornado shelters are rare because the black gumbo expansive clay soil, which swells when wet and shrinks when dry in the hot summertime, has the unfortunate effect of extruding a basement structure out of the soil over time. Hence, the structural stability of a home with a basement in Texas is not as stable as a home built on a flat concrete slab, which rides on top of expansive clay soil without much change or damage over time. He says Texas businesses used to sell surface concrete tornado shelters, and a few homes still have these constructed in backyards. They look like mini-domed structures about 8 feet in diameter, rising up about 2 feet above the ground with a cavity descending down by a set of concrete stairs. He says occupancy of these would accommodate 3 to 4 people. In answer to the question on how tire pressure is automatically read by your vehicle if it does so, Jeff and Richardson said, I never heard an accurate response to the question about how your car can display tire pressure readings. He says, I spent 12 years in the automotive electronics industry and actually designed anti-lock brake and tire pressure monitoring systems. I love this show. Everybody listens to this show. It's great. If the car displays an actual PSI reading for the tires, then there are sensors strapped to the rim of each tire that communicate wirelessly to the computer in the vehicle. In some cars, they even include a sensor on the spare. This feature dates back much further than 2007, as a previous caller indicated. He says, I know it was available in cars as far back as the early 90s. He says, there are valve stems you can buy that are calibrated to show a red dot when the tire pressure gets below a certain level. But these do not communicate their status. You have to walk around the car and look at each valve stem. It says a third system uses speed sensors on each wheel, the same sensors used for anti-lock braking, to detect when one tire starts rotating faster than the others. When a tire loses pressure, its rolling radius shrinks and therefore must rotate faster to cover the same distance. It says these systems don't know the actual pressure of any tire, but only the relative pressure between tires. Cars with this system will have a reset button, usually under the dash by the driver's knee, that you need to press whenever you change a tire, put air in a tire, or if you're just heavily loaded in the vehicle for a road trip. Jeff, thanks so very much for that answer. And now we have some patient callers on the line. Let's talk next to Oliver in Plano. Hello, Oliver.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I've always wondered, throughout Plano and many other cities around the FW area, you see cameras at every intersection, including a lot of the toll highways, like George Bush Highway and the Dallas North Tollway. Mm-hmm. You see cameras positioned every quarter mile or so. And I'm just wondering, who monitors those cameras? What are they used for? And as well as the intersection cameras in Plano.
You know, sometimes you can actually see feeds from some of those cameras on news reports or traffic reports or on the web. I think you can look and see what traffic flow. And I think that's what some of them are used for. You know, those traffic time, it says travel time to such and such intersection, 8 minutes. When you see those on the TxDOT signs on the highway.
Right.
Apparently that's actually, they look at a car and then they see that car pass so far away, and they can judge how fast traffic is moving. But I don't know specifically, you know, who each of those different camera systems belongs to, but we can ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know about the intersection as well.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Line open 800-933-5372. Up next is Felix in Dallas. Hello, Felix.
Hello there, Mr. Jeff. How are you, sir?
Doing well.
This question here is ironic only because we're in political season.
Mm-hmm.
Today in the obituary page, Morning News, there's a gentleman here. We're praying for the family, but a gentleman listed as Kenneth Jack Ludwig, and in parentheses, Billy Jack. And I'm wondering, is this the fella? He would always run for mayor in the 80s, kind of tongue-in-cheek. It says he was 86, so he'd be old enough to be this guy to run for mayor every time in the 80s. And I'm just wondering, is this gentleman? And obviously, we want to pray for the family.
Sure.
But it's just ironic. It's political season, and this obituary is in the Morning News today.
Right. Well, we'll ask. I mean, I'm sure he would have, he probably would have preferred it not be today, but let's ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks very much, Felix. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see if we can squeeze in maybe another call before the break from Charles in Denton. Hello, Charles.
Hi, Jeff. I'm an artist, and I draw and study faces with mathematics, and I just have a question. On the iris of the eye,
mm-hmm.
What's the size of that across? I mean, in an adult, is it very... I mean, my guess would be like from 11 to 14 millimeters, but I'm just guessing. I just wonder if somebody actually knew that.
What is the standard size, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I know it varies.
Sure.
But it varies between what numbers.
Okay, well, we'll ask, and you've called the right place, I think. We'll see if we get an answer for you.
All right, thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. We'll be right back after a quick break. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Telephone number is 800-933-5372. The email address, anything at kera.org. Big answer stack. Let's read a couple of these. Eddie says, if you don't pay your credit cards, after a while you may be sued if the amount you owe is worth suing over. Then you may be forced to declare personal bankruptcy, which is harder to do since legislation that was passed in 2004. Amy writes, I am the web programmer for Dallas County Elections website, and your previous caller was correct. Early voting results will not be available until Tuesday at 7 p.m., at which time they will be posted on the Dallas County Elections website, which is Dalco Elections, all one word, dalcoelections.org. By the way, you can go to Dalco Elections and you can see a sample ballot. You can find out if your registration is current. You can see where your precinct is. Today is the last day to early vote. You've got a few more hours where you can still early vote today, or you can vote between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Tuesday. And if you're in Dallas County or any county, you can go to your county election site and you can find out where your polling place is so that you're prepared, and you can look at the sample ballot, which is really helpful. Okay, so let's see. Amy, back to Amy's email. Early voting reports are available now on the website, but they are only a list of people who have voted early in a particular precinct. They do not have any results. And Amy has a totally unrelated question that we can ask. Where did the term barbecue originate? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Oh, one more answer before we go back to the phones. Gary says, regarding fox urine, he says, I would suggest that you not spray it directly inside the engine compartment of your car, precisely because this pungent odor tends to be amplified by heat. He says, if you don't believe me, spray some inside the engine compartment and when the vehicle's warm and turn on the heater. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Bill in Cleburne. Hello, Bill.
Hey, this is Bill.
Yes, go right ahead.
I had an answer I think is correct on the fault situation.
Mm-hmm.
My recollection from my college geology was that it's called the Balcones Fault, and it runs from Central Texas all the way up I-35, and that's why the geography in Texas, if you're on the east side of I-35, it's more like the south, and then if you're on the west of I-35, it's more western and dry.
Okay.
That's what I recall.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
And let's talk to Carol in Dallas. Hello, Carol.
Good afternoon.
Go right ahead.
Well, I had to add on to that previous gentleman's comment.
Sure.
I've always heard that the land to the east of Balcones Fault, which is the higher portion of it, is referred to as the Great Texas Escarpment, and it runs from North Texas all the way down through the Hill Country. So maybe that's adding some little more information to your answer.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Uh-huh.
800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Elaine has written us and says, regarding buttons, a great source for buttons at a low price is Pursley's on Main Street in Duncanville, just north of Wheatland. Elaine says they sell women's clothing from manufacturers' overruns, also inexpensive. It takes a while, she writes, to get through the hundreds of boxes of buttons, but they are sorted by color and type. Angela in Plano says lawn care is a taxable service. If you go to Texas Comptroller's website, there's a list of taxable services under the publications section. Sarah and Alan agrees, I work for a landscape lawn maintenance company in Carrollton. Yes, lawn maintenance in the state of Texas is taxable. She says we had this verified with the state tax office just recently. Joseph has a clarification on the sale of a stock for a loss. Regarding the sale of stock for a loss, if you sell the security and book the loss, you must actually wait 61 days to repurchase a, quote, substantially identical security. The 30-day wash sale rule, what your callers are referring to, is actually 30 days from either transaction, the sale or the repurchase. And on the campaign funds question, let's see, this is from Joseph, who says, per factcheck.org, the following is presented as an answer to what candidates can do with surplus funds. It says, as Bob Biersack from the Federal Election Commission points out, most candidates don't have much left over to begin with. Campaigning is expensive, and leftover money gets used for bills and debts first, including expenses incurred while winding down an abandoned campaign or a lost political office. Candidates do sometimes end up with surplus funds, though, particularly if they're incumbent members of Congress who decide not to run for another term. State and local governments have their own rules, but those running for federal office, including presidential candidates, must abide by strict FEC guidelines when it comes to their extra campaign money. They can donate an unlimited amount to a charity or political party. They can also, within limits, make contributions directly to other candidates. A campaign committee can give up to $2,000 per election to each candidate. If the committee is converted into a political action committee, the limit jumps to $5,000. But to be established as a PAC, the committee would have to be in existence for 6 months, receive contributions from 50 donors, and make contributions to 5 recipients. It says, the last part here says, what candidates can't do with leftover money is use it for personal expenses. Retiring federal lawmakers used to be able to pocket extra cash and use it for cars, vacations, clothes, pet grooming, whatever. But that changed in 1989 with the passage of the Ethics Reform Act. Let's see. Last week, this is from Alan. Someone asked about vowels on Texas license plates. It was answered that they were used, but not IRO. He says, I've been compulsively looking at plates and have seen no vowels except on vanity plates. So what is the story? Well, Alan, we never got a definitive answer on that. And I just guessed, really. I mean, sometimes I'm foolish enough to do that, that I and O were the only vowels not used. And I was corrected by another Dallas listener, Leela, who let me know that she compulsively looks at license plates and vowels are not used on Texas license plates. But, you know, we'll call it definitive until somebody else calls or writes us with another answer at 800-933-5372 or anything at KERA.org. Up next is Valerie in McKinney. Hello, Valerie.
Hi. I have a question about trying to find a really good piano tuner in mm-hmm. the McKinney area.
Okay.
I just don't know. I don't even know where to start. I guess I have a phone book, but I'd rather have somebody who can recommend someone.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see if we can get maybe a couple of suggestions for you.
Okay. Right. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Abigail in Richland Hills. Hello, Abigail.
Hi. I'm answering the question about raw peanuts.
Okay.
You can get raw peanuts at any Vietnamese market, and depending on where you are in the Metroplex, they have a lot of those in North Garland Richardson area. Mm-hmm. In the Carrollton area, and also in Haltom City.
Very good. Thanks so much.
And Eric Bright, hello.
Oh, very good.
Bye.
Thank you, Abigail. Also, let's see, Mohit says you can get raw peanuts at any Indian grocery store. And Betty in Fort Worth suggests the Nut Vending Company in Fort Worth. Betty also has a question. Please explain which actors get to be added as with as opposed to and or just listed in the cast. I guess she means, you know, starring so-and-so with so-and-so and so-and-so. I think that their agents probably negotiate that. But one is better than the other. And I think we've had a similar question before, but we'll see if we get an answer this time. Let's talk next to Ali in Dallas. Hello, Ali.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yes, go right ahead.
I'm a regular listener of your program, and I like your program so much.
Thank you very much.
It's very informative, yet so entertaining as well.
Thank you.
And my question is that if anybody knows about any good skin lightening cream that could just bleach your skin color without the hydroquinone formula.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll ask. And of course, we always, with these kinds of questions, we always suggest that you solicit the qualified advice of your medical provider as well.
A
dermatologist.
I use many creams, but they claim it's very good, but they always work in the reverse direction.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll ask. But again, I'd recommend that you might talk to a dermatologist or to your primary care physician as well. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Jan in Euless. Hello, Jan.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Last night about 11:30, I was sitting at my kitchen table, and I felt vibrations going across the table, and I thought it was like an explosion or something. Mm-hmm. And again, about 30 minutes later, and this morning on KERA, I heard they said they had they called it an earthquake, but they said it was like a 2-point-something in Grand Prairie and a 3-point-something in Irving.
In Irving, yeah, about 30 minutes apart.
My friend from Peru said they call them tremors there, but I was wondering, have we ever experienced that in this area before?
That's a good question. I know that there was I saw a report, and actually it was an email that was forwarded from the greatness of Jeannie Mascoro earlier today, which I printed out and forgot to bring in here with me, that the last reported earthquake in Texas, I think, was in the Austin area. Is that right? And it was 18 months ago or 6 months ago. There are little earthquakes I can be completely wrong. I think she's pulling it up right now. There are little earthquakes from time to time in Texas. But I don't know if those were the first in DFW. Jeannie, do you have that at your fingertips? Do you remember?
Is there a difference between a quake and a tremor? I don't know.
I think it's just semantics. but we'll see if we get an answer for you on which on whether or not it was the first recorded earthquake we've had.
Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Thanks. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. I didn't really prepare for that. Did you find that?
Okay, what was the question again?
You sent an email last night.
Little earthquakes in North Texas.
Yeah.
How about that?
And so it said on that press release that you sent out that there was a tremor or an earthquake someplace else in Texas recently.
Recently in South Texas. They're not very specific about where in South Texas. I believe, if I remember from news reports, it was somewhere maybe southwest of Austin. Don't quote me on that.
That's fine.
Though.
That's fine. That's all right.
And that was back in April with a 3.7 magnitude.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I remembered something about that. But let's. Well, this question still stands. If you, and it was really great to hear a firsthand report of the earthquake, the great North Texas earthquake of 2008. Let's talk next to Kirk in Allen. Hello, Kirk.
Hey, how are y'all?
Oh, we're doing well.
Good. There is a fault line that runs through the Central America. There was a really bad earthquake in Missouri. I think it was in the 1800s. That's just aside.
It's the new Madrid fault line.
That's it. Yep. That's it. And the one in Missouri, from what I understand, was really, really bad.
Yep.
My question is, I listen to BBC. I'm proud to say I'm a sponsor for 28 years.
Hey, thank you.
And I listen to BBC at night, and I've noticed that many, if not all, of the announcers on occasion will throw an R on the end of countries or words with an A.
America.
America, Asia, yeah. And then Russia, and then 15 seconds later they'll say Russia.
Hmm.
I'm just, if there's any English people out there, why do they do that? It's, I don't know, bugs the heck out.
Where does the R come from? Okay.
Yeah, where did the R come from?
Okay.
And my, I had an answer to the question about where did the word barbecue come from?
Yeah.
And according to the Food Channel, back in the 15 and 1600s, the early pirates were actually meat cooks. And it was a derivative from the word barbarian, and they were called barbacoans.
Hmm.
And as they moved around the world, they brought this roasting method that they learned from the southern islands, and eventually it evolved into barbacoans,
right.
Barbecuans, and then it became their product was barbecue.
Very good. Sounds good to me, Kirk.
It's good enough for me, too.
All right. We'll see if we get an answer for you also on that R that
it's
sneaks in.
Luckily, it just bugs me.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
All right.
800-933-5372. Up next is Paul in Flower Mound. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going
I've got a different answer for your barbecue question.
Okay.
The derivative is actually a French derivative. Barb is beard in French, and cue is the backside. And it comes from roasting animals over an open fire. They would take the spit and run it through their mouth and out the backside, thus barbecue in French.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Okay. You're welcome.
800-933-5372. Probably time to squeeze in a couple more calls and a couple more emails. This is great. Bill in Natchitoches, Louisiana, writes, obviously listening online or we're going to get a call from the FCC. He says, when I retired from a Texas municipal police department back in 1999, the state was using A, E, and U on plates, but not O or I, because of the possible confusion with 0 and 1. He says, they may have changed it, but I know my old plate had an N-U in it. And let's see. This is an email from John, who is a training coordinator at the DPS. He says, Texas uses everything except the letter O and the letter I because they can be confused with 0 and 1. John says, A, E, U, and Y are used in license plates. 800-933-5372. Let's squeeze in a couple more calls here from Justin in Dallas. Hello, Justin.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, I'm doing fine. Really quickly, we're almost out of time.
I'm answering the question on a good piano tuner.
Okay.
In Metroplex. I'm a church worship leader in the area. We use Fred Yonley, Y-O-N-L-E-Y.
Uh-huh.
His phone number
You know what? Let me get that phone number from you on hold, and
okay,
and we'll get his name, and we'll put it up on the web.
All right.
Thanks very much, Justin. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know, produced by yours truly. However, today we had a very special guest, our Anything You Ever Wanted to Know producer for the day, Martha Bean, all the way from Fort Worth. Martha was the lucky winner of the drawing we had in the last membership campaign. Thank you so much, Martha. You know what? Martha was hard at work in there. I saw it with my very own eyes, and we really appreciate it, Martha, and appreciate your support of the station as well. Our engineer, running the board today, and answering some questions, too, Jeannie Mascoro. Thank you, Jeannie. Emily Cox is our intern, also from Fort Worth. She answered phones today. Thank you, Emily. And assistant producer, Brandilyn Barnett, who you heard as well this hour. Thank you very much, Brandilyn, for your hard work. You can download episodes of the show at KERA.org and sign up for the free weekly podcast while you're there. And, of course, please send your questions and answers, comments, and suggestions to us at anything@KERA.org. I'm Jeff Whittington. Thanks again for listening, and have a great weekend.